Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and ready for the weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Friday the 28th of June. Coming up today, we'll hear from polling experts on which Kent constituencies are the ones to watch in next week's election. And we'll hear from wildlife campaigners as the land earmarked for a new theme park is put on the market. But first, taking a look at our top story today, the dad of a talented gymnast from Ashford who's died from a rare form of cancer has said much more awareness is needed. Sasha Ghosh was diagnosed with a desmoplastic small round cell tumour 2 years ago and passed away aged just 16. There are only a handful of cases every year, mostly affecting young people. I spoke to her dad, Aaron, who's now raising awareness in her memory.
She sort of displayed symptoms. But when I say symptoms, they weren't obvious symptoms of any cancer. I mean, they sort of came out in the shape of she had a lot of backache at some point. And she couldn't get comfortable, you know, trying to get to sleep. She had to sort of sleep in a frog position. That was the only way she could get comfortable. And we just put it down to, well, you know, the stresses and strains of her training as a gymnast. She trained 6 days a week, pretty much. She had physiotherapy for it. She had some acupuncture for it. And it's sort of, you know, there's nothing more than that, really. And then she had some tummy problems, which again, you know, upset tummies, bit of tummy ache. We took her to the GP. GP said, well, I can't really see anything. If it happens again, come back and we'll do some more tests. And this was towards the end of 2021. And I think by late February, early March, that's when the disease started to actually manifest itself quite significantly. And she became very jaundiced, you know, tummy problems, she was vomiting and all the rest of it. And that's when we had the tests done and the result was she had to be rushed into hospital.
When I was reading the form of cancer that she was eventually diagnosed with, it's quite rare. Is that right? I think only she was one of 12 cases that was diagnosed. Is that right?
Yeah, it's extremely rare. I think the disease was given a name in the late 80s, I think 1989. I think the number of cases since then, in the 40 years since then, is in the couple of hundreds, I think, worldwide.
And given... I was just going to say, given just how rare it is and just how recently they've, as you say, named it, what do they know about it? What sort of treatment options were you given? Is there much research on it at the moment?
The treatment options are pretty much a standard protocol of chemotherapy. That's all there is. You know, there is some research going on, but it's mostly in the US. And again, they are very limited in what they're doing because, again, you know, it's purely down to funding. And I know there's some research being done at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York, where we were hoping to take Sasha for a clinical trial in January of 2023. And we were in the process of, you know, getting all that sorted. And the pharmaceutical company who were providing the drug, which has been trialed, pulled the drug from the trial. So we never got her there, unfortunately. But again, drugs take decades to kind of research and put them into active treatment. And there isn't anything on that scope, as far as I'm aware.
And I suppose that's why, I mean, Sasha even spoke about it, about campaigning and raising awareness, and now you're carrying on that campaign in her memory. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're pushing for, what you'd like to see the government act on?
What we would like to see, I think, these rare diseases are what's called orphan diseases. And that means there are so few cases that there just isn't the incentive for big researchers, pharmaceutical companies to invest in looking at these diseases because the returns will be next to nothing, you know, by the time they invest millions and millions, hundreds of millions of pounds or dollars. So where do we go from there? If it can't come from pharmaceutical companies where most of research takes place, then the only alternative is to have it subsidized by the state. And I'm sure that it would be a tiny, tiny fraction of any kind of research budget that the government would be prepared to fund. So I don't think there's much option really. And if you value the life of a child, then what price can you put on that?
Kent Online News.
A Broadstairs man with a history of violence against women has been jailed for 19 years. James Golding has been sentenced for attacks on two victims, including a teenager. The 43-year-old from Queen's Road was said to pose a significant risk to the public. He'll spend 4 years on licence once released. Bomb disposal experts have been called to Herne Bay after a fisherman caught what could be a mine. Police were also called to the seafront near Central Parade yesterday afternoon. The item was described as very large, heavy and cylindrical. It was dealt with by the Ministry of Defence. Shocking video at Kent Online shows the moment a lost lorry narrowly avoided people having a picnic after ending up in a children's play park. The driver of the HGV had allegedly misread a diversion sign, rerouting vehicles from the closed Galley Hill Road in Swanscombe. It's been shut for more than a year following a landslip. Graham Taylor's from the Residents Association.
There are diversions in place, and as a result, lorries are severely restricted. There's a 7.5-ton weight limit through Swanscombe. Unfortunately, there seems to be a lot of lorries that are actually ignoring all the road closures. There's a very clear road close sign you can see behind me that a lorry ignored yesterday. Others in Swanscombe that on Monday a lorry ignored and took out the side of a car.
Just talk us through some of the incidents that residents have reported to you guys or you have seen on social media or just through on the ground.
So up in Swanscombe, there are regular reports of the big articulated lorries trying to force their way through the 7.5-ton weight limit area. There has been damage, wing mirrors ripped off of cars. The latest incident was a deep gouge right the way down the side of the car, so bad that the car is likely to be written off, let alone the traffic chaos that it caused when the lorry gets stuck in very narrow roads. Down here in Phoenix Park, we've had lorries demolishing walls. Lorries just demolished part of a children's play area and caused damage round the back where it's got stuck in roads it should never be on and then found that it can't get out again.
And how often is this happening now? Is this happening more now, more recently?
There certainly seems to be at least an incident every week. Sometimes there are incidents more frequently than that. I think some of the signage did reduce the incidents initially, but we've still got a hard core of lorries that are ignoring them.
Police issued the driver with a fixed penalty notice for driving without due care and attention.
Kent Online News.
Police are linking reports of a man on a bike following a boy in Chatham with a woman and child being approached by someone they didn't know. The case has happened in Palmerston Avenue and Simmons Avenue earlier this month. Follow Kent Online on socials for a description of the suspect. There's been a suspected arson attack at a derelict building in Canterbury. The house in St Peter's Place was previously famous for a poster of Elvis Presley that was displayed in the window for nearly 50 years. Firefighters were called yesterday afternoon to tackle a small blaze. Plans for 250 homes on land in Faversham have been rejected. Developers wanted to build 162 private and 88 affordable properties on land off Ham Road. Planners decided the estate could have led to an increase in flooding. The land was also not in council's local plan. The land that had been earmarked for a huge theme park in North Kent has been put up for sale. The company that owns a large part of the Swanscombe Peninsula is also on the market. The site has been under the spotlight for years after plans for London Resort were first unveiled, but campaigners want it left to nature. Sally Smith is from Kent Wildlife Trust.
It hasn't come completely out of the blue for Kent Wildlife Trust and the other conservation groups involved in the Save Swanscombe movement. The plans for the London Resort theme park on the site have been dead in the water for some time. It has some special planning constraints, plans on the site known as an NSIP. We've been fighting to have that special planning removed from the site so it can be protected for for nature for future generations to come.
So with the land being put up for sale, does it ease your concerns about what could happen with it in future, or does it make it even more uncertain? Because obviously you don't know who's going to buy it and when that NSIP might be removed or if it will be removed.
I think more worrying to us as a movement than the sale of the land is that special planning, the NSIP on the site. While that hovers over it, there's complete uncertainty about what could happen there. It is a site of special scientific interest. It's really important for a lot of critically endangered species who live there. We need to protect that area. It's really, really important. We're living in one of the most nature-depleted countries in the world, so we should be fighting tooth and nail to protect this site. So we need that level of uncertainty removed.
And I know we've spoken before about what you'd like to do with that particular area, because you have some great plans for it, don't you, to allow people to go there and maybe spot some of those species that you mentioned, and to just enjoy that bit of land.
Yes, anyone seeing this or listening to this, I'd urge them to go onto the Save Swanscombe website and look at this wonderful vision that we've created for the site, with picnic tables and walking trails to really, really boost the benefit to the local community, because we need these green spaces. They are so important, not just for the wildlife, but for our mental health and well-being as well. Swanscombe itself, the site is an oasis in a suburban area. It's so precious, and we really, really must protect it.
Could it be, Sally, that some miracle happens and someone buys it and gives it to you? I mean, that would be the ideal situation, wouldn't it?
We would love to work with our conservation partners to manage the site for wildlife. And yes, it is a pipe dream. I'm aware Taylor Swift is in the UK, so if she hears this and wants to buy Swanscombe Peninsula for us, we won't stop her.
Kent Online News.
There's a warning today not to buy pets from breeders on Gumtree after a woman was bitten by a rabbit she bought online. She saw the pet advertised in Gravesend and was then reportedly told to put it in the bin after complaining about its behaviour. We're told the breed has been reported and the rabbit has been taken in by a foster carer. Two major banks have announced plans to close branches in Kent. Halifax in Gillingham High Street and Lloyds in Cranbrook are on the list of sites due to shut by next summer. Bosses say it's because of a drop in use as more people are banking online. With less than a week to go until the general election, we've been hearing from pollsters about which way they think the vote will go. Martin Baxter from Election Calculus has been on the Kent Politics podcast. He says the seats on the south coast of the county are the ones to watch, as Labour could make significant gains.
We'll certainly be updating the website as we go, maybe another two or three times. As we get more polling evidence in, we will try always to keep up with public opinion. And public opinion has been changing a bit. But in the last couple of weeks, we've seen a bit of a spurt for the smaller parties, for the Lib Dems, and particularly for Reform under Nigel Farage. So both the major parties are suffering a little bit. But obviously, as you said at the beginning, Labour is still looking in a very strong position at the moment.
Okay. I mean, in Kent, as it stood, the Tories had 16 seats in 2019 with one Labour. And then the most extraordinary turnaround, it appears, according to the polls, you're predicting that 14 would go to Labour, 3 to the Conservatives, and a single Liberal Democrat gain on one. I mean, do you stand by these numbers?
We do until we update them. But there are two things to say, I suppose. The general trend that things look very good for Labour is well established. And yes, we absolutely stand by that. The exact number of seats the Conservatives get is actually a little bit uncertain. That we've got estimates going down as far as 40 or as high as 200. So we think ourselves that it's maybe between about 50 and 100 seats. Other pollsters have it a bit higher, between 100 and 150 seats. But, you know, either way, those are relatively small differences in the sort of big scheme of things, which is that it looks like it's going to be a very bad election for the Conservative Party.
Is there anywhere in Kent where we can expect a shock result if you were going to stick your neck out?
Oh, wow. I mean, this election, the shock results could be anywhere, and Kent could certainly have some. So essentially, all the places where we and maybe other MRP predictors think that there's going to be Labour gains, any Labour gains in Kent are going to be quite interesting. Let me just have a quick look at the map to see where in particular. I mean, the whole south coast of Kent, so Bexhill and Battle, Hastings and Rye, Folkestone and Hythe, Ashford, Dover and Deal, and even Thanet East, those are all seats that Labour could gain. And so those are ones to watch. I suppose Dover is a particularly interesting one because the outgoing Conservative MP Natalie Elphick perceives being on the right of the party, but nonetheless switched to Labour, although she's not a candidate this time. The Conservatives won the seat with over half the vote in 2019, but on our numbers, it could be that the Labour win this seat with, you know, the centre-right vote split between Conservatives and Reform. So if I had to pick one, I'd pick Dover. To see whether the red flags are going to be flying over the White Cliffs.
He says, on average, the Conservatives are still ahead of Reform UK.
Kent Online News.
One of Kent's prisons could be getting bigger. Plans have been put in to expand HMP Stanford Hill on Sheppey by more than 50%. If approved, four new blocks housing 60 inmates each would be built on the East Church site. One of the bridges linking Sheppey with the mainland is going to close for 8 days from tonight. More repair work needs to be done on the Kings Ferry Bridge, which is the road and rail one that raises up and down to let boats through. It means buses will replace southeastern services, but there are concerns about children getting to school. Roland Eglinton is from Chalkwell Coach Hire.
We've tried our best to minimise the impact. For us, there was a considerable challenge in how we served the village of I Wade, because you can't get back onto the A249 from I Wade because of the closures of the Grovehurst roundabout slip roads at the same time as their Kingsbury Bridge closure. So what we've done, we've modified several school bus services, including having them depart earlier from Sheppey and I Wade. We've renumbered some of them at the same time. And we've put in place a shuttle minibus from I Wade to Sonora Way, where it will meet up with the main bus service, so that we can still give people in I Wade access to shopping and essential services. So the big unknown for us is how much traffic is going to be using the A249 in the absence of being able to use the Kingsbury Bridge. And that is likely to cause some delays and difficulties in the area. But we've tried to mitigate those where we can.
How many people are relying on your bus services in the area and could potentially be impacted by this? And particularly, you know, pupils who may be sitting exams at the moment need to get to school for a certain time.
Yeah, I mean, across all of our services, we take about 2,000 people a day to places of education, schools and colleges, and exams and being able to get in on time has been a primary concern. So there's a number of school buses in Swale where we have advanced the morning times forward to allow for that change. And we will keep an eye on things as we go. So all of our buses are tracked. We can follow where there's late running or early running, and we keep a constant eye on things so that, you know, we can do our best and make changes on the hoof when we have to, in order to make sure things go as they plan and as planned, and people can get to school on time. We will see how it settles down after the first day or two. We're expecting initial difficulties before the sort of the actual trend will emerge. But we'll keep on top of things and we'll keep monitoring, and we'll see how the situation develops.
Yeah, and you mentioned potential concerns about increased traffic as well with just that one bridge, the A249, now to get on and off of Sheppey. I mean, are you worried people might be sort of, and your buses might be sitting in traffic for ages trying to get to school on that first Monday morning?
Yeah, they could be, which is why we've moved things forwards earlier. Everything's sort of bottlenecks at the Grovehurst Junction. So as you're coming off the island, everybody's going to be streamed into that bottleneck there where there's alterations to the slip road. So that is a concern. We ask that people car share, depart earlier, or use public transport when they have to. So you use the bus. The trains aren't running, so being on the bus is a good way to get from Sittingbourne to Sheppey. So, we'll keep an eye on things and we'll do our best.
Network Rail say the works will be finished by 5 a.m. on Sunday, July 7th. Four fire engines have been called to a wildfire in Canterbury. A tree and around 100 square metres of undergrowth caught alight off Stodmarsh Road yesterday evening. Crews spent 3 hours tackling the flames. No one was hurt, and it's unclear what caused it. Elsewhere, firefighters have been tackling a blaze involving trees and stables near Ashford. It broke out on Watery Lane in Westwell at around 8 last night. The horses had already been led to safety. A mental health support group and food bank in Swanscombe will have to find somewhere else to go after a church was forced to close. The decision to close Swanscombe Methodist Church in August is down to declining member numbers, as well as a place of worship for 136 years. It's also being used as a community hub for local residents. Darren Riley is from the Helping Hands support group.
It's going to affect the group immensely because a lot of people over the last 12 months have become dependent on coming to this group. I believe it's going to have a very negative effect on their mental health and their well-being. We were supported by the National Health Service, but they've now pulled out on the news, or partially due to the news that the church is closing. So if we can't find another venue, this help and support that we provide here won't be local, which will be devastating for everybody.
So what sort of help do you provide? What do you do at your group?
It's more emotional support and group support therapy. We have chatting sessions. If anybody needs something to get off their chest, we're here as a group to help them. If we can refer them, we can refer them back onto the health side of things through the NHS. And also, if they need emotional support or religious support, we can refer them to the church.
So where would they be able to go instead?
There's possibilities we may be able to go next door into Cass above the fire station or the old fire station, but I think that's not going to be beneficial. Some of the people that come here don't like being enclosed, they like having a bit more space, and it's very confined upstairs. Here's perfect because it's a lovely open room. It's a lovely building, historically it's a lovely building in Swanscombe. Everybody knows it here in Swanscombe. And for it to be taken away, not only for our group, but for the other groups that attend here regularly each week, I think it's just going to be a damn shame.
There's been no decision yet on what will happen to the building itself. And a Medway gym's been put up for sale. Rocco in Gillingham has two pools, a gym, a beauty salon and spa. It's got a price tag of £3 million. The owners have put their three other sites in Chiswick, Nottingham and Yorkshire on the market.
Kent Online News.
And now with a look at what's on around the county, here's Sam Laurie.
If you want to get the kids out of the house to enjoy some sunshine this weekend, because as we all know, the nice weather could disappear again at any time, then I have the perfect activity for you. This weekend, the Shaun the Sheep in the Heart of Kent Art Trail launches, with more than 50 sculptures of the lovable cartoon sheep, all with different designs, popping up around Maidstone. You can download the app to get the free trail map and follow it to find as many colourful sculptures as possible, and you might even get a reward at the end. The trail is all about raising funds for the Heart of Kent Hospice, so it's for a great cause and it's a brilliant way to keep the family entertained for free. Now, that's not the only family day out going on over the weekend. There's an Armed Forces Day celebration happening at the Lees in Folkestone on Sunday, with parades, live music, military vehicles and amazing aerial displays from Spitfires and the Red Arrows. There's even a free concert in the evening, but you have to register online first if you fancy going to that. At Bettshanger Country Park in Deal this weekend, there's a time-travelling Viking Fest. You and the kids can see what it was like to live as a Viking, with outdoor activities, workshops and characters taking over the park. If you're feeling hungry, the Ashford Food and Drink Festival opens its doors tomorrow and it'll be in town for a whole month. Until the end of July, you can book to join in with beer and wine tastings, attend pizza-making workshops, watch cooking demonstrations and sample dishes from a variety of street food stalls at venues all over Ashford. And to make the most of the summer, why not take a trip to Hever Castle, where you can see the beautiful Hever in Bloom display. This annual flower festival is open from now until next Sunday and sees more than 5,000 roses and guided garden tours taking place in the castle grounds. There's more music at Dreamland this weekend, with a performance from Deacon Blue tonight. The Scottish rock band will be performing on the open air stage as part of the Margate Summer Series, following on from Eurovision singer Sam Ryder, who played at the venue last night. And if you want to see some great shows this weekend, my recommendation is to visit the Marlow Theatre in Canterbury, where the Masked Singer host Joel Dommett will be headlining this month's comedy night on Saturday. Also, there's still time to catch family favourite Chitty Chitty Bang Bang at the Churchill Theatre in Bromley until Sunday night. Our reporter went along to see the show earlier this week and said it was simply magical, so make sure you book your tickets. Well, that feels like a pretty jam-packed weekend, and whatever you choose to get up to, even if you decide not to make any plans at all and to just soak up the sun in your own back garden, I hope you have a brilliant couple of days.
Thanks, Sam.
Kent Online Sports.
Briefly in cricket, Ken Skipper says the Spitfires need to be held accountable for their poor run of form in the T20 Blast. Last week, they fell to a fifth successive Vitality Blast defeat by 5 wickets to Essex. Sam Belling says the results are just not good enough. He'll be looking for improvement in the match in Gloucestershire next Friday. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, why not check out the latest review from The Secret Drinker, who's got a Euros-themed review for you.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.